All right, welcome back to Double Fries, No Slaw. Richie, the season is mercifully over. Florida State falls to Florida. A million points to not enough, so it doesn't even matter what the score was. But finishes 5-7, and for the first time ever, I've sent this live on X. So we typically just do this on YouTube, but we'll do our first segment or two over here. And then if you're watching on X, we are going to link the tweet to the show on YouTube if you want to see the end of it. I'm 1,000% stealing that from Andy Staples at On3, but I thought that was a good idea, and so I'm going to do it too. So Double Fries, No Slaw, brought to you by Guthrie's. You can visit all three of their locations in Tallahassee, 1818 West Tennessee Street, 2550 North Monroe, 2870 Appalachie Parkway. Appreciate Guthrie's for their support. Let's jump into it, Richie. Florida State falls to Florida in a game that, you know, in the first half, they showed a little bit of fight. It feels so redundant to continue to talk about like coaching decisions and choices and missed opportunities and things like that. But I don't know. We can talk about those things if you want. But to me, the biggest problem was Florida just beat the crap out of you. Like, they were just better than you, and they didn't do anything special. They didn't do anything tricky. They didn't do anything exotic. They just lined up and they ran the ball. And I don't know why they didn't do that other weeks, but for all the Tony White and defense and this, that, and the other that you felt like was kind of trending the right way, because, hey, you didn't give up a ton to Clemson. You didn't give up a ton to NC State, and you looked good, even defensively, mostly against Stanford, Wake Forest, and Virginia Tech. Any good feelings you had about the defense, they're just not as tough. Like, they're just not very good. And I mean, again, thankfully it's all over, so it doesn't really matter anymore. But for a team to just line up and say, hey, we're going to run you to death, I mean, it was disheartening, because the only reason you were ever in the game is because Florida tried to throw the ball a couple of times. You know, they got one guy that can't catch a touchdown when he's wide open, another guy that can't complete a pass, you know, and throws a pick. But I mean, thank God for those two plays, or you'd have gotten beat by even more. So it was disheartening to see the lack of just, I don't even know if it was effort, but certainly a lack of ability to you know, tackle a guy that runs the ball 4,000 times in a game.
Yeah, you know, and I don't keep track of Florida Gators football history too closely, but you think of guys like Fred Taylor, Emmett Smith. You know, none of their names are in the record book for the most rushing yards against the Florida State defense in this rivalry. And that's what we saw Saturday. And you talk about being emasculated, and that's when the other team finally finds out, well, we can just run it every time, and you're not going to stop us. It was like that Virginia drive, that Friday night game when Florida State lost in double overtime, when I think they ran it like 8, 9, 10 times in a row, something like that. And also, I was actually at a watch party at a friend's house with only Gator fans. I was the only Florida State fan there. And it's funny, because you think they'd be talking trash. They just felt bad for me, because we're all watching the same thing. And that's what it was. And it reminded me a lot of the 2012 game, when in the second half, you know, that was a top 10 matchup. That was a big game. And in the second half, Florida realized, well, Muschamp realized, you know what? Let me go jumbo set pretty much every play in the towards the end of the third and the fourth quarter, because they can't stop us. And they were getting 4, 5, 6 yards of carry every single time.
Yeah.
And that, I felt like I was reliving that again this year. And, you know, again, it's emasculating when you cannot stop the rushing attack, just as it can be emasculating if you can't gain more than 2 yards of carry against a defense. And they were just the tougher team. And for the first time this season, you know, I've said on the show all season, you know what, it's not a good team. We don't have great players, but at least they play hard. They quit. They absolutely quit on Saturday night. And, you know, that was the one thing that was telling to me. And we'll see what happens. I'm fairly certain they're still going to bring Mike back, which I think is an absolutely asinine decision by everyone involved in the leadership. And I was talking with some of my Gators buddies about it, and they're like, well, why would they bring him back after last year and this year? And, you know, I said, you got to think the people making these decisions outside of Peter Collins, you know, They have no allegiance to Florida State. Our athletic director is currently looking for another job. President McCollum is a Harvard guy. He's focused on academics. He doesn't really care about football, only when they win. So, yeah, there's just a lot of things going against Florida State right now. And there's really not a light at the end of the tunnel right now, at least.
Yeah, and, you know, I kind of wonder, you know, you talk about Peter Collins, who is an FSU guy. I mean, that is right. I mean, you know, McCollum went to Texas and then Harvard, right? You know, Alford was at, you know, I think graduated from UAB, but it's been all over. I mean, this is a job to him, you know? And so I did have a little more faith that Peter Collins would, you know, be enough of a Seminole to, and maybe he doesn't, maybe we give him a little bit too much of I don't know what the right word is. Maybe we give him too much of a
pass.
Well, not pass, but just we think he can do more than he can. Maybe that's the best way. I don't know what the right wording for that is because I just, you know, you guys have watched this show for long enough. You know, I'm not very smart. But maybe we give him too much like credit of thinking he can really change things. Maybe it, you know, maybe it's like a 33, 33, 33. And then he is the chair of the board. But I mean, we will be fair. The rest of the board has a say too, even though Weatherford's on that, even though there are other people that are on the board. And so, yeah, I mean, I think ultimately you know, it's frustrating because, you know, yeah, like Alford and McCullough, like, do they care? Yes, in the sense of it's their legacy too that's being tarnished. Like, you know, there are reports and I've been told by fairly credible people that on sides that are not related to Florida State that Alford has very much put his name in the hat for the Oklahoma opening, the LSU opening. Now, I haven't confirmed that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Alford hasn't told me that. And people that work at both those schools haven't told me that, but people connected to both schools have. And so, yeah, I mean, I also want, does that make it a little tougher for him to get a job if we continue to suck? Like, I mean, I do think they want us to win. They want us to be good. I don't think they're like plants, you know, that like want the football team to be terrible. But yeah, like you just, I mean, are you hiring, you know, an AD that is suffering from what Florida State's suffering right now? If you're at a power two school, I mean, probably not, you know, like, I mean, the AD job has been open to several power two schools. And I know of at least three that he tried to get and wasn't able to. And so, yeah, I mean, I think they want what's best, but yeah, maybe we give Peter Collins a little bit too much authority or thought in our mind that he can just change things. But I thought when the rubber met the road, I thought that he would be able to move on with things. I am not surprised at all with the result. You know, Florida found something to be able to exploit you with, and they had the athletes to do it. Ultimately, you know, NC State, though they did beat you by 10, that was a very, very competitive game. You had better athletes than them, and you shot yourself in the foot. Stanford, same thing. Competitive game, you had better athletes. Clemson, again, better athletes. They just showed you that they were just better than you, you know? And so I'm not super surprised by any result. I wasn't surprised last night. Same thing. It was frustrating, though, that Florida was just doing the most simple things possible. And we refused as a staff, and maybe Terrence Knighton is checked out. Maybe Tony White is checked out. I don't necessarily want to see either one of those guys back. I think most of the team is checked out. Like their effort looks pretty terrible. Just the way that Jaden Ball, and he's really good. I think he's a top three running back in the SEC. I wouldn't put him number one, but I'd have him top three. I think the kid at Missouri is really good. I think the kid at Ole Miss is really good, but he's way up there. And so just the way, and this is not uncommon for him, but the most frustrating thing about a guy that continues to run the ball 40 plus times is the fact that he always fell forward for two or three extra yards. Like it just, we never got them in a situation where it'd be first and 10 and he'd get 3 yards and then we'd tackle him and we would, you know, instead of having some intestinal fortitude is maybe the best way to say it, having some gumption about yourself to where you can, you know, keep him from driving you backwards, he'd fall forward for another 2 or 3 yards. And so it would turn a 2nd and 7 into a 2nd and 4 automatically. And that was just, yeah, they got 3 plays to go pick that up. They didn't normally need 3 plays to go pick that up. In fact, the one time you did get them to 4th and 1, your coach, defensive line coach, defensive coordinator, and head coach all share responsibility, could not get the right number of guys on the field. They would have gotten the first down anyway. It looked to me like the ref was going to spot it pretty close, if not giving them a first down, but you didn't even get a chance for a measurement because you're too stupid to be able to get the right number of people on the field. So just completely inept from top to bottom. It was good to see the Edwin Joseph interception. I really enjoy, I mean, if there was anything good to take away from the game, Tommy's effort once again is really, really good. I really like Danzy's effort on getting into the end zone. It was cool that Richie Leonard pushed him in. You know, fortunately for Richie, I think he's 0-4 in this game, being on the losing side twice. So that kind of sucks, but that was a cool moment. Getting it back to 17-14 was good. Going to the half, seeing the defense come out in the second half. I mean, when the defense came out in the second half and got three straight stops and we had just scored on two possessions to end the first half, I really did believe at that moment. Not that we were just absolutely going to win, but it felt like, okay, they're going to be in this. They at least care about this game. And then from there on out, they obviously just, you know, Florida scores, they go up two scores, and it felt like Florida State mailed it in. I was happy as you could be that you didn't quit all year, but it was frustrating to see you go into a place. And yeah, I watched the recap that Corey did. It was the team quit, and you kind of had Florida on the ropes of quitting too. I don't know if they'd have quit like Florida State did, but they did last week. They laid down and quit against Tennessee, which is another rival of theirs. And you had them on the ropes and a chance for them to go do that, and you couldn't take advantage of it, you, just from mistakes and the fourth down. You know, Mike Norvell feels like it's a high percentage play to go for it on fourth and one. I was saying go for it at that moment, but in retrospect, yeah, your staff is not smart enough to go for it on fourth and one. And let's be honest, Mike Norvell, like whatever instinct Mike Norvell thinks he has about a decision in a game, he should probably just do the opposite. There's a Seinfeld about that where George literally just does the opposite the entire time. And so he orders the different breakfast. He goes and talks to a pretty girl and would never have done that. And like his life just totally turns around. He gets a promotion at work and all this stuff. That's what Mike Norvell should be, George Costanza, where he just literally does the opposite of what his gut is every time. And we'd probably have, you know, we'd probably be 7-5 instead of 5-7. Not that that's good enough, but yeah, it was, I mean, frustrating from top to bottom. A good quarter. The second quarter was really good, but the coaches aren't good enough. The players aren't good enough. And, you know, I think they were all just happy for the clock to hit triple zeros and be done with this year. And, you know, congrats to us. We get to do it again next year.
Yeah, no, and going back to the fourth quarter calls and decision-making, I say go for it on fourth down almost every time if you have confidence in your defense. You know, I forget at what point in the game at the second fourth down was, but it was hard to have confidence in the defense at that point. That
well, they just gotten a three and out with two sacks. So, like,
yeah,
I kind of thought, like, man, Florida's offense looks terrible. They've stopped them twice. Like, so anyway, not to cut you off there, but I thought it was at a point where it did kind of make sense. And it was a yard. What are you doing, man?
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. If you have a problem with the specific play call on a fourth down in a situation like that, okay, I'll listen. But going for it in that situation, that's what all college coaches are doing. You know, and I know some people, especially the older fans, they think about, oh, analytics. No, it's not about analytics. A real coach knows what to do in the moment. No, analytics do matter. There's a reason, you know, in the NBA, the most productive shot is the corner three, right? Because that is the most points per shot per attempt, next to a dunk or a layup. So analytics do matter, and we're seeing that more and more in sports, and like it or not, that's where we're going. So I didn't have a problem with that. But yeah, it felt like in the second half, you know, Florida State came out, they're like, okay, we finished strong, we held on, because there was a minute there where you thought this could get dicey at heading into halftime, and Florida State fought back and held on and did not let it get dicey. In fact, only down by three. You knew you had to kick the ball off in the second half, but like you said, you got a three and out, and all of a sudden, okay, we're in this. You know, it's like, I don't know if you watch UFC much. I guess boxing might be a better analogy, but, you know, you get hit in the mouth a few times, and you're like, okay, I'm good. And then you land a punch, and then you just get hit with a whirlwind of shots, and you just say, I'm done. Like, I don't want any more of this. And that's what it was. And the unfortunate thing, it wasn't like you were giving up a ton of explosive pass plays or anything. It was literally death by a thousand paper cuts watching that game, especially towards the end of the second half, to where you knew if it was third and six, Florida's like, I can run the ball. Billy Gonzalez, credit to him, man. He realized the issue, the insufficiency in what Florida State was doing, and he made the most of it. And, you know, I would never thought I'd say credit Billy Gonzalez, but here we are. And thanks a lot, Mike Norvell, because you're the one making me do that.
The funniest stat to me is that, you know, well, there are a lot of funny stats, and Mike Norvell continues to set records now with not only Jaden Ball having the most rushing yards in a Florida State game ever, but also the fact that Florida State hasn't, you know, it will have been 1,000 days that they have won a road game by the time they play another one. He's 2-0 against, or he has a winning record against Billy Napier at 2-1, and he has a losing record against interim head coaches. I believe he's 1-3, the one win coming against Kent State. The two losses coming against Florida and, 2-3. He did.
Stanford had an interim.
Yeah.
No, Stanford had an interim.
He beat Virginia Tech, who had an interim, lost to Stanford and Florida twice, and then beat Kent State, who had an interim too. So congratulations on the 2-3 record and 0-2 against UF with an interim. So Florida hadn't scored. What was, again, a lot of this was disheartening, and we can move off the game and go more big picture here in a minute. But Florida didn't score 30 points this year, Richie. They scored 55 against Long Island, but outside of that game, outside of an FCS opponent, they didn't score. They didn't score 30 against USF. They didn't score 30 against LSU, Texas, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Tennessee. A bunch of bad defenses, right? And I understand you wouldn't expect them to score 30 against Georgia and, you know, LSU and others, but they didn't score 30 all year, and you let them put up 40. Because you quit, right? And whether you quit or not, I mean, I didn't think they quit in the first half. And, you know, Florida should have had more points than they did, if not having to settle for a field goal. And did they miss a field goal too at some point? They missed an extra point. They should have had more points than they did. We were pretty lucky in that regard that they didn't get up to 50. You know, if not for a turnover, Florida State has 7 less points, and Florida probably goes down and scores again. They had scored on their first 3 drives, probably would have scored on that 4th one as well. So frustrating, just top to bottom. But, you know, ultimately, this is what the admin was okay with, and this is what we're getting from the admin. Do check your text real quick when you get a quick second. Let me give some love to Campus Course, and then we'll move a little more big picture. But yeah, I think they quit, and it's just frustrating that that's the way it went down, because you had a chance to at least put some kind of happiness on the end of the regular season, and you just couldn't even think about doing that. Campus Course does have a Black Friday sale that goes through tonight. If you're watching this live, I don't know if you'll catch this later, but it is this hat is BOGO right now. I had some of you ask me, our code doesn't work with the BOGO. You're not going to get BOGO and like another 25% off. So just relax a little bit on that. But if you get any shirts, I'm wearing one right now. It's a small screen here, but I've got the one with the Seminoles on the side of it. I'm wearing a Campus Course shirt now. If you get a shirt, something like that, you can use our code DFNS20. You can use DFNS25 if you get multiple items. But again, the hats being BOGO just through tonight. If you're doing Christmas shopping, if you're doing Cyber Monday, Black Friday kind of shopping, make sure that you go hit them up and get them checked out. Richie, on to segment 2, and I think we'll talk a little more big picture here. How do you think the fan base is going to handle this offseason? Because it just doesn't feel – I know that we're all frustrated. I know that we all understand how things are going to go. I know the answer to this is nothing, right? Like, the answer is you want Mike to be fired, and so you want to move on and restart. Since that's not happening, unfortunately, what can they do? And you can't say nothing. You can't say just go out and win your first 6 games or something like nothing like that. Is there anything they can do, like if they finish with a really good portal class or they get a GM installed early? Like, what kind of things are you looking to see between now and, you know, spring and then spring to fall that will at least make you care? And again, I know the overarching answer is nothing until they win games.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is with this fan base right now. You know, we are running off the high of 2023 going undefeated, right? And then Orange Bowl, I don't care about. I don't think any of the fan base really cared about that Orange Bowl, to be honest. And then, you know, last year, total incomplete disaster. And you fire both your coordinators, you bring in new coordinators, and the fans are kind of excited. Like, okay, you know, well, and we said that we didn't have unrealistic expectations heading into the season, TJ. I think we both said 7-5 would be somewhat acceptable. 8-4 would have been an acceptable record. in no world was 5-7 going to be acceptable. Given that being year six, you know, you're making all these promises about, oh, we have these new coordinators, you know, we're going to change up some things. Mike's just going to be strictly a CEO and he's going to run everything. Well, he might be one of the worst CEOs in Power Four history, but I just don't know what this fan base is going to think. I just think, and I hate that we have to use this word again because we've used it so many times the past few weeks, but just apathetic. Like, what is there to be excited about? I don't know who we open the season against. I'm assuming it's a cupcake, unless the ACC
hasn't been announced yet. Unless we schedule one,
yeah. Unless the
ACC we have an open date on its schedule, but the ACC might open us with an ACC game.
But come September 19th, when you go up to Tuscaloosa. I'm sorry, you're not winning that game. I love that we beat Bama this year. And that was honestly a great performance. And sure enough, they fooled the hell out of me thinking that this would be maybe not a special season, but at least a really good one. And they fooled a lot of national people too. So it wasn't just me being a homer. So I don't know what you can do because, I'm sorry, the front office isn't winning and losing games. And they keep talking about, oh, we're going to revamp the entire front office. I'm like, okay, that's cool, but you know what? Is the front office going to be able to, whoever these people may be able to go, you know, host a recruit on a recruiting trip and say, hey, I need you to sign with me? Because even if you start off hot with a really good recruiting class and you're top five in the country in July in recruiting, okay, that's cool, but the season has to come, games have to be played. And if you go out there and start off, you know, 3-3, do you think these top recruits that you may have convinced are going to want to stick with you, knowing that this coach is in year six? The whole fan base wanted him fired last year, and he's back for right now. I just think that there's no saving this program under Mike Norvell. There just is not, and it's baffling to me that we're going to bring him back next year. I don't care. No front office changes. Like, you know, in baseball, they talk about war, wins above replacement. I'm sorry. There's no one you can add to that front office that's going to add a win to Florida State next year. It comes down to coaching.
I struggle to see. So I'll do this real quick. If you're watching this on X, I am going to literally reply to the tweet and just show this on YouTube now. So the link is posted. Come on over to the YouTube and hit the subscribe button. If you're doing that, we'll see if some of you make the jump over. We can also see your comments over there. Unfortunately, we can't see them on X because, you know, Elon hates for us to see what you guys say on any streaming platform. So yeah, I have concerns around the GM idea too. Like, from everything I've heard, now this has changed because there's been some pressure. So maybe some of the administration does listen, but from everything I've heard, the GM hire was expected in late January. Richie, you want to know what that means? If the GM hire is happening after signing day and after the portal, not that the GM would really help much with 4 days to go until signing day or whatever, that doesn't matter. But if the GM hire was happening in late January and that was the fix for what we're doing with this program, that's the administration telling you that this next year doesn't matter. Like, if the GM hire happened on December 1st or December 2nd or December 3rd, and he had a month and a half to plan with Mike Norvell for the portal and the transfers they wanted to take and really strategically build a roster and evaluate talent, and you could see some promise in next year's class, all of that I think would count towards, okay, 2026 needs to be a good year for Mike Norvell, a 7-8-9 win season, preferably on the higher side of that. If the GM is going to get hired after the portal window, then that's Florida State telling you that they don't care about the results of 2026. Because if their fix, if their solution is to bring in a GM to do more of Mike Norvell's job for him, to pay him $10 million a year to wear cool hoodies on the sideline, which he does a pretty good job of, I'll say that. If that's the fix, and you're not doing that until, when will the GM's next opportunity to like be a GM happen? Not until the next offseason. So I think they're telling you that if we go 5-7 again next year, Mike's coming back for 2027. I know we all think that, oh, well, he's a lame duck and he's going to be gone. But if they're not giving him the pieces to make next year's roster better, if they're still going to rely on the process that they have right now, then the results can't be held against him. Now, for us, they will be, right? If Mike loses a few games in the early, we'll all be chanting, fire him again. But if the admin is not going to help this guy out, because clearly he can't do it, couldn't do the offense, he can't do the recruiting, you hired Gus, you're going to hire a GM. But if you're not hiring a GM until after the portal's already been open and guys are starting to pick their schools and try and enroll in classes, then I think the admin's telling you, buddy, buckle up, because we ain't firing him next year either. So that is concerning. Now, all that said, I am very interested to see when Florida State does make a hire at the GM position and does make the front office changes at this university, because I do think there's been some pushback to that idea. And I think that Alford feels a little more pressure to get that done more quickly. But again, if he can't get that done within the next few weeks and we're hiring a guy at the end of December or at the beginning or middle of January and the portal's already been open, man, that ain't very good. That ain't setting us up for a lot of success next year. And so, man, I don't know. I don't have a lot of confidence from that perspective. I also don't have a lot of confidence from a competitive pay perspective. I mean, Alford, I think it was just me that interviewed him last time, but he came on this show and he said on record multiple times that he believes in the cap. And he believes in rev sharing. And that's why you haven't seen them push the battles in. That's why you haven't seen them trying to raise NIL money. I think Florida State's administration is very much in the camp that we're going to play by the rules, though nobody else is. LSU's offering Lane $25 million for a roster. And you know what Ohio State's paying. And you know what all this other stuff is. I think Florida State is going to play this game with a bad coach and one hand tied behind their back. Unless Alford and the administration change their view on what the cap is. And I don't believe they're going to do that. I would love to be wrong there. I would love for Alford to come out and say, hey, I've rethought some of the things that I think about the cap. I think there are opportunities for NIL to exist outside of that. But I think we are going to, with a loser coach and a loser program right now, play with one hand tied behind our backs. And I don't even know how much a GM is going to impact that, right? At the end of the day, there are some kids that do relate better with coaches and they'll go somewhere for a discount. I was up at, when I was in Raleigh, I was chatting with one of their coaches and I was being told what other programs were offering some of their guys that are still on the team. And some of those guys were offered three or four times amount that NC State was able to pay them. And he said, look, I have some really good relationships with some kids and I was able to keep them from getting poached. We gave them a little bit more, but we didn't get close to what they were being offered. Yes, there is some of that that exists. You can overcome some things. But man, if your roster is going to be $5 to $10 million less than what they're paying in Gainesville or what they're paying in South Florida, you ain't gonna win games, man. Like that just is what it is. And so I have concerns about when the GM is hired, and I have concerns about whether or not we're going to truly utilize the money. There's this big narrative out there, Richie, that says, hey, we'll take Mike Norvell's buyout money, right? Maybe not all of it, maybe not all $50 million. But we'll take some of that extra $9 million a year that we had and we'll give it to the players. We'll buy better rosters so that this idiot can have good enough players to go out and play. Hey, it works for Miami. They got a guy, who did I listen to? Corey Clark maybe said something like, I don't even know if that guy down there can tie his shoes, but he can fall backwards into 10 wins. I think that's kind of the case, right? Like, okay, yeah, take Mike Norvell's $9 million that you were going to have to pay him and go give that to better players. Florida State's not doing that. I don't think Michael Alford wants to do that. I think he wants to play by the cap. He wants to play by the rules. I don't think they're going to spend extra money. And so to me, it's a grim outlook because I don't think it's going to get any better. If you can't get better players, if you can't be more competitive in an NIL, and if you don't hire a GM until late January, who gives a crap that you're putting a Band-Aid on this, a fake Band-Aid, right, on this thing for the next few months?
Yeah, and I have a couple things there. The fact that I think a GM is a useless position in college football. I really do.
Well, it's like, for a coach that can't do his job. So, I mean.
Yeah, what has Ray got us? He got us Blake Nicholson, who's a solid player. That's it, right? So I don't get it. But again, who's going to want to come to Florida State as a GM when they've already announced that the GM position will be reported? I don't know if they've announced it, but it's been reported that the GM position will report directly to the AD. Okay, so this guy who hired this guy is who I'm going to have to report to. It just, like, I don't know. It makes no sense when it comes to NIL. Yeah, you have to be competitive. You have to be willing to pay. I'd take a second-tier coach over you know, a top tier coach if you're not going to give him the money to fill the roster he needs, right? You look at, you know, Friday almost made me a little terrified because I'm thinking about a guy like McCoy, and even the Twins on defense. Like, people are going to poach Florida State's roster this offseason. They're going to say, listen, your coach will not be there after this year. Whether they're right or wrong, it doesn't matter. They hear the noise. They see it. Some of these players probably watch this show and other Florida State shows. Like, you think we can afford to keep McCoy if a Bama or a Georgia or, you know, Lane at LSU decides to come call in and say, hey, I'll give you an extra $1 million to come play for me. And by the way, you might actually get a chance to make a bowl game. So it's to use your words, CJ, this is a grim circumstance to be in if you're a Florida State fan. And I don't think the administration is taking it seriously. And I do not think they care about the fan base as a whole. I think they're going to do whatever they want to do, because I think a lot of the people making these decisions feel as though they will not be in their roles 2 years from now. So they don't feel like they have any consequences. It's like if you had a job and you know you had another job lined up or really good prospects of getting another job and you were struggling at your current job, why would you care? Like, you have a fallback plan. And I feel like that's the mindset this administration has, and it's a complete loser mindset.
Yeah, I mean, I think you – I mean, I think the GM position yeah, we got a comment about the need for it. Yeah, I mean, I think that is the way that things are trending. And it doesn't surprise me at all that Florida State is going this route. Some programs don't need this position. Some do, right? And Mike Norvell clearly cannot recruit. And so bringing somebody else in to oversee football and kind of be like a – I mean, very much like the NFL model now that guys are getting paid and you're having contract negotiations and stuff like that. You need somebody that can actually do that and be like more of a director of program operations. I mean, I think the GM, whoever they hire, will be the one to eventually say that Mike Norvell is fired, but he can't do that without the AD's blessing, whether that's Alford or whether that's somebody else. He can't do that without the approval from the board. He can't do that without the president signing off on it. So there's still the same mechanisms in place that exist. It just, you know, yeah, I mean, Florida State needs a GM. I'll say this, Florida State needs a GM because the guy they got now can't, the same reason they needed Gus Malzahn. The guy that they had now couldn't call plays. And the guy they got now can't recruit kids. And the guy that we got now has a very imbalanced roster. Yeah, there's some really good players on this team. We think about Chroma. We think about LaWayne McCoy. We think about Deuce Robinson, who I think he's probably going to the NFL. Think about Daryl Jackson, the Desir twins. They did a good job, I guess, with their offensive line this year. They did a good job in some places. They're terrible at the linebacker position. They were getting beat all night at defensive back, which we thought that was going to be a strength with Surtain. They aren't good at the quarterback position. I appreciate Tommy's effort, but you know, I'm okay if he doesn't come back. I think we need to go in a different direction there, and he probably won't be wanted back if Gus isn't around, which I would be surprised at this point if Gus is back. So I don't know, man. Like, yeah, I think they do need a GM. Not necessarily every program needs one, but Florida State certainly does just because of how bad their coach is. And you talk about this. I was talking with somebody about this the other day or just today. The schedule is much tougher on paper right now than it was this year. I mean, you don't play a bunch of absolutely terrible teams down the stretch like you did this year. And so now that schedule looks tough. Now we know how things work all the time. It looked somewhat daunting this year and then didn't end up being as bad as we thought. So I do think that there's opportunity for it not to be as hard, but shoot, you play the same big four in Alabama, Miami, Clemson, and Florida. And I know you upset one of them this year. I don't think you're going to get that surprise attack on one of them again next year because you don't play any of them in week one. And then you play on the road at Pitt. You play NC State. You play on the road at SMU. Like, you play Virginia again, who you couldn't stop. Just run the ball down your throat. I don't know, man. It seems daunting. But again, when you get to next year, I bet 6-6 saves his job. I don't think he even gets fired for that. So that's what maybe sucks the most about it.
Yeah, and that's the problem. That's what I said about, you know, I'm going to age myself a little bit here, But when I was a freshman at Florida State, the school president was T.K. Weatherall, who was a legend for Florida State, played receiver for Florida State back in the day. And at the time when I was covering the team as a student reporter, it was funny. I'm like, man, this president, he's too involved in football. But looking back now, it's easy to see he just cared about the football program. I remember being on a radio show my senior year. I was on a radio show. A guy named Chad Scott, some of our Atlanta listeners or viewers might know it. He was my co-host. We were on 6 radio stations across the Southeast. And out of nowhere one day, he's like, do you think we should get rid of Bobby Bowden? And I'm like, whoa, that's a tough question, because I grew up loving Bobby. And then I thought about it and I gave an honest answer. I said, yes. And, you know, we talked about that for a little bit. And T.K. Weatherall is one of the people leading forces to make that decision. Now, obviously, is Randy Spetman, who was the athletic director at the time, who was a coward as well. But, you know, it's just, I guess what I'm trying to get at is Florida State has a standard. And if 2-10 and 5-7 and missing 4 bowls in 6 years, when I was 31 years old before we ever missed a bowl game, if that's okay, and that's the standard, we are resetting the standard at this point. And that is not okay with me. I'm sure it's not okay with you, not okay with Harlan, and not okay with a lot of these fans and boosters who pay a lot of good money that they work hard for. And if you're going to reset our standard to be like, well, just give them one more year after winning 7 games in 2 seasons, that is insanity to me. And if you're willing to reset the standard to, you know what, I know we lost by 20 or 19, whatever it was, to Florida, but, you know, hey, we fought a good first half, and this team's got something going for next year. That's not okay with me. And again, I think it goes back to, and I'm not that guy that says you only hire alums, because, like, you know, every time the DB position, coach position comes open, everyone's like, oh, we got to hire Crow. And everyone's like, oh, well, if we do get rid of Mike, we got to hire Dion. No, you don't have to hire alum, but you have to hire people that are invested, and your actions show me how invested you are. And the actions I've seen from our current administration tell me they're not invested in football. And that's just kind of where I'm at. And it's, if you reset the standard to where, hey, come, if Mike gets away with this for another year, goes 6-6 and keeps his job, and then maybe he does get fired the next year, the next coach, what is the standard? You know, hey, just win 8 games, we'll be happy. No, that's not okay with this fan base, and nor should it be. There is no reason you should not win 10 games every year, include the bowl if you want. So go 9-3 every year, especially in this dog shit conference, CJ.
Yeah, the ACC may not even get a team into the playoff. I was laughing
with
a friend about that situation with Duke going to the ACC championship. Yeah, there's a good chance that, or at least a decent chance. I do think Virginia wins and they sneak in, but you know, there's a pretty good chance that they don't even have a chance to get a team in. Yeah, I mean, ultimately, and again, I was my biggest fear is that we turn into Nebraska, where we just don't have an expectation. And I don't think we're there yet, because the anger that you're still seeing from fans shows that we're not there yet. But there is coming a day, if we don't get this turned around the right way, where we will not, like, where this stuff won't even hurt us anymore. Like, everybody's hurt right now. Everybody's frustrated and everybody's angry and everybody's very adamant that this is not, but there will come a day where going to Tallahassee for games is just about seeing the people that you care about. Like, I don't, like, I'm just telling you, I don't know how much I care to go watch FSU football next year, because it's not an enjoyable experience. Now, there are people, I can think of people that I want to go see and hang out with and tailgate with and spend time with and laugh with and talk with and do all that stuff. There are people that I am looking forward to seeing every weekend to Tallahassee, but not necessarily to go watch football, because right now it's not an enjoyable experience. There was one enjoyable game, and let me tell you, that Bama weekend was phenomenal, and I had a blast. And from even before the game, during the game, I was nervous. After the game, the next morning, just as many times as you can think, I had a great time. But the rest of the season, man, I know we had the two cupcakes that were fun. The Virginia Tech game was not enjoyable to me. The Wake Forest game was not enjoyable to me. Being in Carter-Finley was not enjoyable. Being at Clemson Memorial Stadium was not enjoyable. There were aspects of the Clemson game that were fun. But I was telling somebody else, I said this last night on a reaction. The best part of the Clemson game was driving home. Like, the drive home was, to me, was the best part of the Clemson game. Without a doubt, it was the best part. I was dozing. I was tired. I at least had some happiness getting away from that place. So I don't know, man. The outlook overall, not great. The future, not great. The offseason, not great. And I don't know that maybe they just couldn't do it. Maybe they tried to do it, but I just think the buy-in from the fan base, and maybe we'll get to July, Richie. Maybe we'll get closer this season. Maybe they will hit some good portal stuff. Maybe they will get a quarterback or an offensive coordinator that gets you a little bit more excited. If they finish with a top 15 class, I don't care about that, but they finish with another top 5 portal class, because they got to take a bunch of guys, or you get some real difference makers. Maybe by the time we get to July, we'll lie to ourselves and think that it's better. I mean, I have a hard time believing that, because we went into this year with low expectations. The Bama game is, and I wouldn't trade that Bama weekend for the world, but the Bama game is what reset our ideals and probably screwed our heads up the rest of the year. Because if you saw him play that well against a great team, how could they not do it for the rest of the time? So I don't know. That's all I've got on big picture. Let me give Sleeper some love real quick, Harlan. You can just keep that all as one thing. That's fine. From the time we did Campus Course to Sleeper, I just saw your text. But make sure that you are on the Sleeper app. Use our code DFNS for a 100% match up to $100. I wonder how we did with our more and less. Harlan, you got the total there for us somewhere. I know that it's that's not necessarily what we do on Sunday nights, but I'm pretty sure I won. So actually, Harlan, don't even total that up. Make sure that you use our code DFNS for a match up to $100. That is 100%. We appreciate Sleeper for their support all year. You can still go play the more or less game on NFL games, NBA, MLB when it comes back around, NHL, college basketball, and conference championship weekend. And then, of course, the playoffs and bowls as well. Appreciate Sleeper for their support. Check their terms of use, because terms and conditions do apply. Richie, I mean, anything else big picture you want to talk about? I don't know if you care about talking about Lane or not. We won't even clip any of this up. But anything else you want to talk about?
Not really. I think this is just a program that's in disarray, right? It feels very similar to 2017, right? When everybody knew, really by the end of September, that Jimbo was quitting on us. The games were just not enjoyable. You know, I watched, even before this, we started this podcast, this YouTube show, I still would watch every single game. But 2017, I did not want to turn the TV on to watch Florida State, but it's something in me. It's like an addict, right? I have to watch and see what happens. And that's what these past two seasons have felt like. And I think there's a lot of Florida State fans who can probably relate to that. And that's a horrible place to be in as a program. You're telling me you're willing to spend over $100 million to try and flex your arms to say, hey, we're going to take the ACC to court and we're going to get out of this conference, but you're not willing to cut ties with Mike Norvell. And the only reason I bring that up, because you wanted to join either the SEC or the Big Ten, right? Well, you're not willing to play like the SEC or the Big Ten in terms of what you do off the field, because LSU had no problem paying a $54 million buyout, almost identical to what Mike Norvell's is, to get rid of Brian Kelly, and then sign a $12 million a year contract for Lane Kiffin. They found their first coach who they wanted, and they got him. And you're not playing that same game. We're playing different games right here. You know, they're playing tennis, we're playing pickleball, or I don't even know the analogy, but whatever you want to say. You know, we talk a big talk as a university, but, you know, to steal a Jimboism, our actions are speaking so loud, nobody hears what we're saying. And that's where this program is right now.
Yeah, I mean, I am thankful that Florida didn't get Lane Kiffin. I didn't want them to have any happiness while we were down in the dumps. So appreciate LSU for doing the Lord's work there. It would be nice to see Miami not make the playoff as well. If I could have another Christmas present, because, and listen, shout out, it's December 1st. So if anybody wants to send a Christmas present, you know, it ain't that hard to find somebody's address online. So I would be more than happy to get some actual Christmas presents from you guys as well. But another Christmas present would be, it'd be nice to, it'd be nice for Miami to not make the playoff after back-to-back 10-2 seasons. So if you're listening, God, I would certainly take that. I will give, I'll give a shout out though. Women's soccer team is in the College Cup. I know you guys aren't tuned into every single sport that FSU plays, but they are in the Final Four. So if you want to take your booster donations and give it to a program that does something good with it, not good, great, elite, then, women's soccer might be a good place to go check out. They play on Friday night, I think against TCU in maybe Kansas City. So shout out to the women's soccer team. The football team, we'll continue to talk about it, but yeah, it is frustrating to see where they're at. I don't know what the fix is. You're probably just going to be saddling up with, you know, two more years of this loser, and then hopefully you get done with it at that point. So appreciate you guys for tuning in. Good numbers as always. We'll be back. We're done with preview shows. So we'll have a Tuesday morning call-in show. You let you guys vent a little bit if you'd like. And we'll be back next Sunday. Oh, I'm out of town next Sunday. I got a big weekend planned, Richie. I'll be out of town Sunday, so I don't know what we'll do on Sunday, but maybe we'll just have a week of rest and not do anything, but we'll see what happens. So appreciate you guys for tuning in. Appreciate all those that support. Guthrie's, Tallahassee Ford, I didn't give any love to during the show, but we always appreciate them. If you're in the market for a new or used vehicle, make sure that you hit up Tallahassee Ford, and then Sleeper and Campus Course. Again, go check out the hats. They're BOGO through the evening. So I've been wearing this thing everywhere. I wish it, the only thing is, I'm already getting it dirty because I'm such a slob, but appreciate them for their support. We will be back on Tuesday with a call-in show. We will talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.